That's okay. I got a question for you. Before we put the picture on the screen, let me ask any of the younger ones here have been in school, who invented the incandescent light bulb? Who's credited with being the inventor of the incandescent light bulb? Don't have to look at the screen to answer this morning, but you could. Anyone? Hey, Thomas Edison, you guys are so smart. Oh, and it's on the screen. So I want to start with Thomas Edison today. I want to read this. He's quoted with saying, of the 200 light bulbs that didn't work, every failure told me something that I was able to incorporate into the next attempt. I love that perspective and that attitude that he has. We think of the success that he had, and I would imagine that many of us would not immediately think of all of the attempts that he had to get to that final point, right? Where it's like, I can't help it, pardon the pun, the light bulb went off. Yes, thank you, my dad joke. All right, good deal. And it worked, he got it. But at that victory were months and months, years of finding, something might work, and it doesn't last very long. He had so many that would kind of work, but it just wouldn't last. And he didn't know how to get it to actually last. And then he finally did, and he came up with a solution for that. He solved his problem, but it took him a long time to get there. One step forward, one step back. I was going to say one step forward, two step, but I'm like, well, that'll sound demoralizing this morning, so we won't go that far back. But sometimes, and a lot of times, it's like that. Who likes to play golf? Who knows some about golfing world? Amen. All right. I'm going to ask you just one sis trivia question, see if you know. In 2019, this individual won the Masters for the fifth time after having recovered from operation procedures on his back. Nice. It would not be Pete Rose coming from the peanut gallery up front. Can you think of Tiger Woods? I heard it coming from the back. There we go. That's right. Tiger Woods, life of practicing and playing and reached the pinnacle of his sport. Of course, like I said, 2019, he won the Masters for the fifth time, which is an absolutely phenomenal personal achievement, and it's tremendous. In February of 2021, he rolled his SUV down an embankment in the midst of also having gone through some personal issues, which won't get into this morning. And then he had to have surgery on his lower right leg. And the physician that worked on him told him that it's going to take at least a year, maybe two, before you get to the point to where you can start playing golf again. In April of 2022, so about 14 months later, he played in the Masters again, and he shot one under par, which for average golfer, wouldn't you say that's a pretty good score? Not bad, especially if you're shooting it at the Masters. In the very next month, this last month actually, he played in the PGA Championship, and he withdrew after the third round because he shot his worst score ever at the PGA Championship. And when he was talking with the press at the end, when he had withdrawn, his closing remark was along the lines of, you know, saying, hey, I'm gonna keep working to get better, and we're gonna see what happens. Now, I'm paraphrasing that, but that's kind of the gist of where he was at. One step forward, one, two, three steps back for this young man. Well, he's not as well. I like it because he's about my age, so I will say he's a young man. I'll stick with that one. You don't have to comment on that. It's okay. I get it. there's a man who was a son of Jacob, of one of the 12 tribes of Israel, right? 12 sons of Jacob. And so he's the second to youngest son. His name was Joseph. And his father loved him, right, more than the rest of his sons, because he had actually had him with Rachel, whom he dearly and deeply loved. And so much so that dear old dad decided that he would have this coat, this fancy kind of coat made, and he would give that to Joseph, which he did, and which was a great gesture, right? Who doesn't appreciate a parent or, you know, someone giving you a really nice gift? That's amazing. But when he did that, though, what it said to his siblings and to others in the family was that he was cherished and prized really over the others. And since he was the second to youngest of the 12, that was almost like an insult to the other siblings, because it should have been the eldest and the older who should have been elevated and prized over the younger ones. Joseph wore the coat anyway. And lo and behold, his brothers got furious with him, and they decided to throw him into a well. And then they saw an opportunity, and they sold him into slavery, and he goes to Egypt, and there he finds himself getting put into jail, and he gets the favor of the captain of the guard. This guy's name is Potiphar, and he's doing so well, and of course it's all because of God's blessing is on him, but you know, he does so well that Potiphar's, he says, I'm just going to put you in charge of my whole household. And so you just run my household. And then he found that his household was prospering because of Joseph was doing such a great job. And it just feels like he's really rising, right? He's in a rough spot, but he's rising up. And, well, Potiphar's wife decides that she would like to do, we'll just keep it clean and say some not so good things with Joseph. And Joseph says, no way, no how. Ain't doing it. And he runs, he flees away. And Potiphar's wife tells Potiphar, she lies to him and says, he tried to take advantage of me. And Potiphar is furious. And so he finds Joseph, he gets him, and he puts him basically back and puts him in jail again. Oh, by the way, when he's in jail, he runs across two guys. One was a baker for the Pharaoh, and the other one was a cupbearer who would pre-taste test the wine to make sure it wasn't poisonous before the Pharaoh would drink. How'd you like that job, right? Talk about a bad day one day. And those two have dreams while they're also in prison, and Joseph interprets them. And unfortunately, the baker, he's going to die. And he says, the cupbearer, he says, you're actually going to get your job back. You imagine hearing that? He's like, yes, I'm going to be restored. This is going to be good. And he goes, but hey, oh, let me, by the way, when you get there, don't forget about me. Remember what I did. Remember what I told you. Remember me. And in Genesis chapter 40 at the end, it says that the cupbearer forgets about Joseph. Says that in the story. One step forward, one step back. Yes, it's moving ahead. Yes, this is good. Yes, look what I get to do now. And then, boom, like your feet are knocked out from underneath you. Like, this is ridiculous. All right. Who can tell me what this game is? Sorry! Anybody ever played Sorry before? Yes? Isn't that a fun game? Oh, it's a fun game. You think, well, your board is ripped, but I know it's that way to fold it and put it in the box. But anyways, so if you remember the game of Sorry, I love this, because you have four pieces, right, that are yours, and you start at your starting position, and who can tell me what you have to do? What's the goal? You got to get around the board, right, to get all your pieces together. into the home, and each color has its own home. So we're going to start the home. Well, the fun thing is about this game, before I hit myself with this, I'm going to put it up. The fun thing about this game is if when you're drawing the cards, if you get the right cards, you can fly around that board. You can go fast, and you can get your pieces home. But there's also another part, because sometimes you can draw a card, and you got to go backwards. And then what happens if somebody lands on your spot where your piece is at? Where do you have to go? Back to start. It's crazy. You can be so happy in one moment, and you're like, yes, and then all of a sudden you're going, I'm going to shoot you. I know a guy that knows a guy. Right? I mean, you just feel like you get your, you know, your legs chopped out. You're like, yes, and you're just, all the air goes out of your balloon. You ever had those kind of moments in life, you know, that kind of thing? You can just, oh my goodness, one step forward, oh, three spots backwards, the card tells you. Life can feel like you're in a game of sorry, can it? Yeah, it can. You can get a break at the right moment. It all seems good. Life is good. I'm so excited. And then out of nowhere, when you don't expect it, crisis happens. And you get your chopped off, right, kind of thing below the knees. And the air is just let out of your balloon. And what you thought you saw, you're not sure you see anymore. Because you don't understand how it can go from point A to point B and maybe get better from where you are right now. Maybe you're driving your car and your car breaks down right in the middle of the road, out of nowhere. You get somewhere, try to start it again, it won't start. You go somewhere, unbeknownst to you, you leave your wallet there, you get home, and you can't find it. One time, I was younger, my family was traveling, and we went to this is not a wallet story, I have plenty of those, my wife can testify to that, but some reason I had this watch. I got a brand new watch when I was a kid as a gift, and so we went, and why did I take my watch off just to wash my hands? I don't even know, but I did that, and then I dried my hands, and I left my watch laying on the counter at the rest stop in the bathroom, went out, got in the car, we took off down the highway, and then for some reason, not till we got down the road, you got to be kidding me. I knew what happened. I had left my watch. I didn't know about going back to get that. It's gone. I'm like, why did I do that? All I had to do was just look right there. Put my watch back on my arm. Are you kidding me? Feeling pretty healthy, and then all of a sudden you wake up in the middle of the night and you get sick. You go to the doctor, thought you're okay, blood work comes back, and now you've got a medical diagnosis that you had no idea was your reality. In the midst of a recession, you look at your retirement fund and your heart starts palpitating. Because that's the main source of your income, right, for when you retire. One step forward, one step back. Anybody ever heard of Jesus? Anybody ever heard of Jesus? Right? Yeah, you can raise your hand. It's all good. It's all good. Yes, there's a story in the Gospel of Mark where I want to read this story because I want you to see that Jesus relates to a life of feeling one step forward, one step back. It's in Mark chapter 3, and it begins at verse 1. And if you want to follow along, if you've got a Bible app on your phone, you want to certainly feel free to do that. I'm going to read this story this morning, but before I read that text of Mark chapter 3, verse 1, I want to just set it up so that you kind of know the context, right? Jesus has been traveling around, and he had gone to a place called Capernaum, and there in that area, Simon Peter, you know, the guy tries to walk on the water, right, into Jesus, and he starts sinking. Jesus pulls him out. Well, this Peter guy, his wife lived there at Capernaum, and his mother-in-law she was sick. She wasn't doing well, and he heals her, and he heals a lot of people in the area as he's traveling around. There's a person there who is, there's many people who have spiritual demons upon them, and he's casting demons out of people. There's folks who, leprosy, paralytics, or suffering paralysis, and he's just transforming people's lives. And you're going, this is amazing. The gospel story is just going, woo! Then read chapter 3, verse 1. Look at that. It says, another time, talking about Jesus, he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Because you weren't supposed to, work, right? Kind of exert energy on the Sabbath to be a day of rest, not even heal, you know, you wouldn't do that. So they wanted to watch, see what he would do. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. Then Jesus asked them, all the other folks, he said, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill? But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, stretch out your hand. Watch this. He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. What a miracle. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. One step forward, one step back, if you will. I love Jesus, and I love this story, and I love the Gospels, because when you read the Gospels, you see this pattern where Jesus does good, and he gets pushed against. Because people don't understand who he is, they don't agree with what he's done, they don't like what he's said, they think he's leading people astray. It's one step forward, and he's getting pushed back. But there's something that you notice in the stories, and that is that Jesus never gives up on his mission. He knows exactly why he is there. He knows exactly what's happening against him. He understands where it's coming from. And in the fact that in that moment, he understands that there is one large priority. That the gospel, the good news, and the work that he's going to accomplish for the world not be derailed. He knows. You can push against me. You can bring suffering to my doorstep. You can oppress me. I can suffer. You can put problem upon problem upon my life. But I promise you this. I'm going to bring salvation to the world. You will not stop the Father's plan through me, for this is why I have come. And so to them he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Believe on me. Trust in me. Listen to what I teach you. Walk in my footsteps. Learn from what I'm sharing with you, the knowledge, the wisdom that I'm imparting to you, for you have been derailed. You have been deceived. Come, follow me, he says. Jesus knew that he was in it to win it. Jesus knew that every single day that nothing was going to stop him from his purpose that the Father had given to him. Nothing. When you stand up out of bed, well, let's just say when you wake up and you start your day, let me ask you, do you believe? Have you decided? As for me, I will serve the Lord today. And there is no height nor depth. There is no pain. There is no suffering. There is no hardship. There is nothing that will distract me and derail me or deceive me from living out God's plan for my life, that I would walk in the power of the Holy Spirit today, and that I would trust that whatever comes my way, that God is more than able to handle what concerns me today. And I may not be able to feel like I can rise up and take a step, but I know that He who is within me, and He who loves me, and He who went to the cross for me, and who was risen from the dead for me and for the world, if He can do all of that, and He can bring me into the Father's kingdom, if He can bring salvation into my life, if He welcomes me just as I am, yeah, I'm not walking out on Him. I'm not going to do it. Because nothing else compares to Him. You say, well, I don't see all that today. I get that. Faith is not about seeing. It's about believing, even though you can't see it. Because what lies eternally on the other side of faith in Jesus is far better than having to be able to see that God will fix this today because He's good. Whether God fixes it or not, He's still a good God. It's not about today. Well, it is, right? Oh, yeah, but it's not. It's about eternity. It's about what He's done and what He will do for all who call on His name in faith. The Apostle Paul was a guy that knew what it was like to go through some hardships. In fact, he was martyred for his faith in Jesus. But he had it determined that whatever comes my way, I'm going to look at those as light and momentary afflictions in my life, because there's no possible way that I can ever compare these afflictions and the pain and the suffering to the promise of the good glory of God that is awaiting me. They're incomparable. It's like apples and oranges. They're not the same. But isn't that what so many, we'll just call it like it is. I imagine so many of us have done over the years. Maybe a time or two. Maybe that's where you are today. And we say, well, if God were a good God, then He would fix this. If He wants me to believe in Him and trust Him and follow Him, then He would do right by me right now. How good can He really be if I have to walk through this suffering in my life? If He really loved me, He'd take care of it. Because isn't that what a good, good Father does? And I hear the church singing about His good, good Father. Well, come on. Wouldn't a good father keep his kid from having to suffer? That's not the point. He's a good, good father, but that's who He is. And He's good. We know He's good because He loves us. And He's given us the gift of life. And He's given us a promise of eternal salvation. And He's given us the opportunity to walk every day with hope and joy and peace and His love, but not because we make it that way, but because He says, I want to give you a gift. I'm going to gift you with this. You're going to know my goodness in the gift of my grace that I give unto you. We have two young ladies that are going to be baptized here in just a few moments. And I want to invite you guys, if you would, to go ahead and change and get ready. If you're not, if you're ready to go, that's awesome. They're going to be coming forward and taking a step into to that water. And here at New Hope, we don't believe that the water is inherently saving them. They've been saved through their faith in Jesus Christ. It is a water that symbolizes the work that Jesus has done in their life by an act of grace, and their profession saying to the church and to the Lord, this is my faith, and this is the life I want to live as a committed follower of Jesus. And so today, they're saying that to you, to their family, to the church, for all who will see. This is their heart's desire. And to Riley and Kaylee, I want to say to you, you probably already get it, but I just want to reiterate, you know, just because you get baptized, it doesn't mean that life is going to all of a sudden have all your problems fixed and you're not going to struggle anymore with anything. And it's all going to be hunky-dory. That's a word y'all don't use. But anyways, you're still going to have issues. You're still going to have struggles. Right? Life is going to hurt at times, and there's brokenness in the world that's going to impact your life, and you're going to wish it hadn't, but it did, because we live in a broken world in sin, and bad things will continue to happen to good people, and good things will continue to happen to bad people. It doesn't say anything about God or his goodness. That's the fact of living in a broken world, right? Life happens. And our encouragement to you is, remember why you're stepping into these waters. Because you believe that God is more than able to handle not just your past or your present, but also your future. That you trust him above all. And that you trust your family and the church to gather around you and to take this journey with you. All right? Cool.